All right, so we're back here once again on another Couch Coach Live here under the lights here on Couch Coach Live. We got a great show lined up for you. What's going on, Maui?
Chilling, man. What's going on with you?
Not much, man. Just chilling. And we got our special guest, my guy. It's wild card weekend, so we got to have wild card Mar in the building. What's going on, man?
I'm feeling real special. My man Couch, he hit me up. He's like, come on this show. I was like, me? Oh, I'm there.
Come on, man.
There you go.
Hey, man. Yeah, and shout out to our guy Walker Mar. He's my our brethren on our matchup madness show that we do. Shout out to our good brother Cool. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how we roll. So
yeah.
You know,
yeah, Cool ain't feeling too well because the Migos is looking kind of shaky right now.
Yeah, man. Hey,
that's so weird you would say that. Hey. I was just thinking yesterday, where the hell is Cool at?
Oh, he around. Boy, just...
yeah. He has been. I'm like, I ain't seen the wrestling pod and that what's going on? Hey, I love this player.
Hey, imagine all the pods get canceled because the Eagles is looking like Dugan. You'd be like, man, I ain't like this.
I'm going down right to have a conversation with them.
Hey, man. It'd be like that. I mean, shout out to my NFC's brethren, but hey, ain't nobody feeling sorry.
Hey, man. Get y'all stuff together, man, or we're going to have to deal with these Cowboy fans.
Hey, man. It's, hey, both of them, I hope they lose this week, but we here. So we got a jam-packed show tonight. It's funny, when I looked at kind of maybe last week, maybe like around like Thursday, Friday, kind of like planning for the show for this week. And it's funny to think like what I envisioned was going to be, what we're going to discuss, but everything got thrown in the trash last night, this morning, all that. But we here. So we got a great show lineup. So we'll be talking about Bill Belichick, end of an era, but Bill Belichick is no longer the head coach of the New England Patriots. Nick Saban has retired. We'll talk a little coaching carousel with the two latest fires, but we'll talk about Pete Carroll and also Mike Vrabel being let go. We'll also talk a little bit journalistic beef. Normally we don't really get this kind of face-to-face, platform-to-platform beef in the Jason Whitlock and Stephen A. Smith saga. So we'll get into that. We'll do some NFL picks and we'll do some other things as well. So we'll be right back here on Couch Coach Live. We're going to kick that intro and we'll be right back. Shout out to Big Kirko. I hope you're getting well, brother. Hopefully you're off the, you're good. You know, get ready for 2024, but we are here. And our special guest, Wild Card Mar. I stumbled a little bit. I felt a little Webby-ish, like Angela Yee, Charlamagne. I stumbled a little bit, but we back here. So what's going on, Mar?
Man, I can't complain, man. A pleasure to be here, man. I appreciate you, fine gentlemen, and invite me to this fine podcast that you got here.
Thank you, sir. Definitely appreciate your appearance today here on Super Wild Card Weekend. We had to have Wild Card Mar in the building. Ooh, I got it right this time. No Webby this time, but we here. So this week's Couch Coach Live is powered by the good folks at SeatGeek. Head over to SeatGeek. Use the promo code COUCHCOACH to get $20 off your first purchase by using SeatGeek. So, as we kind of tease a little bit in the beginning, what an interesting, I would say, the last I want to say about 27, 28 hours that we've had in the world of sports. Well, you know, especially this news this morning where we learned that Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots have parted ways after 24 seasons. Now, you look at Belichick's career, he has a 333 wins, 178 losses. He's 15 wins short of beating Don Shula's record of 347 wins. He's a six-time Super Bowl winner with the New England Patriots. In his tenure with the New England Patriots, he has 296 wins. So he and he's in the elite company where he joined Curly Lambeau and George Halas as the only three coaches to win six championships. If you look of Halas and Lambeau, they won in the pre-Super Bowl era, but this is essentially he's the first one to win six championships in the post-Super Bowl era. So, fellas, I'm going to go around the horn. Your thoughts on the news of Bill Belichick retiring and what's next for our boy Belichick? We'll go with you first, Ma.
Hey, man, I'm going to be honest. You know, you're going to hear me say this quite honestly with, you know, him, Pete Carroll, when we talk about Saban as well. Legacy. I mean, here's the thing about Belichick's legacy, man. I respect the man for a great defensive coach that he was. You know, he was trash as a GM, so that goes against his legacy as well. You know, and then, of course, we always had a debate whether it was him or Brady. You know, whatever side of the coin you sit on that, that's up to you. But, hey, I give the man credit for winning six Super Bowls. There's no coach that's done it. He got two more as a defensive coordinator with the Giants, so eight in total. Ain't no other coach really doing what he did. Let's be honest, man. Before he got there, man, ain't nobody heard of no Patriots fans. You know, they real quiet now because they ain't won nothing lately. But you just got to give him credit for what he did. But here's the biggest thing, man. I'll play the bad guy. There's an asterisk to homeboy's legacy. I mean, you won. You won six Super Bowls as a head coach, but that comes with, some spy gate, some deflate gate, some things that kind of you're looking a little real cheaterish, bro. So it's like two things can be right at the same time. You can respect what he did as a defensive coach, but you can't, for me personally, I can't get past the fact that it comes with a little bit of asterisk next to your name, man. You got a little cheaterish in there. So, but overall, man, he's done something in the NFL game that just probably will never be duplicated of success in turning around a franchise. It's hard to do what he did in a salary cap type league. So, hey, hats off to him. But you know, I'm still side eyeing Belly. That's all.
And Mark, any where you think he's gonna go next? I mean, if you
thank him.
Wild guess. You don't have to be analytical, but wild guess.
Yeah. To be honest, man, with him being in his mid-70s, he wants to get that record. I hate to say it because it'd be my division. I hate to see him in LA with the Chargers. Imagine what you can do with that defense with Khalil Mack, Joey Bosa, and Darwin James, and he get his hands on them three dudes. Yeah, I want nothing part of that. But that would be my best guess. Personally, I hope he just go ahead and sails off into one of them little boats in Nantucket and just, you know, ride off of the legacy. But, you know, what do I know?
Nantucket. Mal, your thoughts? What you got?
For me, same thing, legacy. You know, when I speak football, I'm always going to speak about him and the robot that he was. But also, what I liked about Bill is when he actually liked the Ocho Cincos, the Ed Reeds, the Ray Lewis's, those flamboyant type of players, and he had great conversations with them. You know what I mean? And he really was. Like, I just seen a clip where he was like, "You know, we doubling you all day to Ocho Cinco." You know what I'm saying? He said, "Yeah, we called it this." And it was really, it was respect, but also a mind game. I think it was well overdue. I think if they probably wouldn't have lost, if they, I mean, wouldn't have won some of those Super Bowls, and after like 2012, it kind of prolonged it. It was sometime he still was winning, but you know, it's kind of long overdue. And I think that the NFL is changing, like especially with the coaches, they're younger. And you know what's funny? I would say it started with him because he seems like he's somewhat of a player's coach. Even though he's old school, he seemed like he still has a decent relationship with some of with his players. That's really it, man. Like to me, I look at him like the Phil Jackson of the NFL. Like just coach, like you know, from he won as a player. I know you said he won with the Giants twice. Coached in Puerto Rico, won. Like, everywhere he seemed like he touched his hands on it with some type of success, you know. You could say in New York when he was in the office, when Phil was the president, they didn't do well. Well, you can look at Bill Belichick the same when he was in Cleveland. You know what I mean? So that's really it, man. I really wish he'd retire. I like for dudes when they have their legacy to sit back and enjoy your life. And I know he's probably not going to want to do that. He wants, like you said, he wants to do the record. For me, if you're asking me where I would like for him to go, I want to say, I don't know, maybe the Panthers. Maybe the Carolina Panthers. That's just because I feel like if he goes to L.A., I don't think he's I want the sun every day type of person. I think if he was to go to L.A., he's not. You got to deal with Hollywood and everything. You know what I'm saying? Where, you know, when you go to Cleveland, he's from Pennsylvania, if I'm not mistaken. You know what I mean? And it's a different mindset. So that's where I would like him going. And man, anybody that retires or stepping down or whatever he's going to do, man, you know, God blessings to you. You know what I mean? Like, hey, he made football entertaining for me, the good and the bad.
Yeah. And today was a very interesting day. I was able to watch the presser. And, you know, and for them to kind of split equally, I think that was the greatest thing. Because I think we talked about it even in the preseason, like they were going to have this tough conversation and it was going to lead to what we thought was going to happen today. It's the end of an era. You think to yourself, 24 years, essentially, and we're hard pressed going to get, we may not never get that. We might get that with Mike T. I don't know. But that might be the closest that we'll get as far as having somebody in. You know, being the head coach for 2 decades. That's the only one I think that's and if Mike T gets there, he would be the last one. But this could potentially be the last time we will see a coach being somewhere 20 plus years. So we knew this time was gonna come. I mean, you look at just what he has done, especially from the personnel standpoint of how this team is just hasn't been good and since Tom Brady has left. So, you know, and even going back to the days of you know, when this team was successful, you know, he did a great job. Like you said, he turned guys to, you know, who we were like an NFL purgatory at the time. We talked about Randy Moss a little earlier. He was another one that kind of was like at the edge. Then also Chad Ochocinco, you talked about him. And that let's not forget about like guys like Corey Dilling. He was another one that kind of helped him get his, you know, get that together. But I just look at it from that standpoint of it's a great run. Like you said, it will be, you know, we can talk about like what Mar was saying as far as the asterisk. So there's a lot of stuff on his record that's a little bit unsavory, but you know, it is what it is. But shot in the dark, it's gonna sound maybe a little crazy, but follow me. I think what's next for him, and this is all contingent on this particular team losing this weekend, which is a possibility. If this team loses this weekend, I think he will be the head coach. And to almost echo Mar's sentiment, this one is in my division. I could potentially see him going to the Dallas Cowboys, potentially. I know that sounds a little crazy. I think it can work in two different ways because I think when you look at Dak, I think Dak is we could call him a franchise quarterback in a sense where he can take you to where you need to be. Because he needs 15 wins to get to Don Shula's record. Coupled with the fact of, if you put Belichick on that team, they could potentially be a Super Bowl contender, especially if they lose a guy like a Dan Quinn. Because I think more likely they're going to lose Dan Quinn. So I definitely think Jerry Jones will bite that bullet. Because, hell, he put trust me, Jimmy Johnson is in the Ring of Fame. I would have thought a lot of stuff would have happened before that happened. So for him to kind of swallow his pride for that, and I can see him potentially bringing in a guy like a Bill Belichick for maybe like a 2 or 3 year rental, get that record. I can say he probably retire like right at 75 or so, and if that's an opportunity for them to get a Super Bowl,
right?
I can definitely see that potentially.
I can too. Yeah, I can too. Sucks, but I can too.
Yeah, especially if everything falls, because I think even if they lose against Green Bay on Sunday, or if they lose, I think if they don't get to Santa Clara in the NFC Championship game, I think Mike McCarthy's gone. So it's pretty much NFC Championship or bust.
Oh, or you potentially, yeah. You definitely got to have a conversation.
For sure. Because you have a good team, and then coupled with you losing Dan Quinn, because that's saying, you know, because if they're going to lose him, no doubt.
Especially with Seattle opening up.
Yep. And that's a distinct possibility. So it's like one of those where you replace, you know, that situation, you bring in a guy like a Bill Belichick who can command the room almost like what Dan Quinn is doing on that defense. And you, like you said, could you imagine Bill Belichick with that defense and, you know, what they doing this year already, then coupled with bringing back Diggs back next year. So, you know, it's going to be, you know, it could definitely be a very compelling storyline if he does go to the Dallas Cowboys. I think that's a potential there. But, you know, like I said, but I think as far as coaching vacancy-wise, it probably would be the Chargers. I think the Chargers probably had the best roster as far as ready to win, where he can get that 15 wins within a two-year period.
So I got a quick question. Mm-hmm. If he was to take that job, do you think that's probably one of, what would you rank that team just as all the ones with the Patriots that he coached? Like, what would you rank them at?
Like
for instance, when I always seen the Patriots, they got Tom Brady, but they always made them seem like they were underachievers. Like on paper, they're not as good as you think they are, but they just coached well. They disciplined. Like talent wise, I always felt like he didn't have the most talent on his squad. So what I'm saying with this Cowboy team, would you say this is probably, if he was to get it, would this be one of his most talented teams?
Probably, more than likely. I mean, I would say he would. I mean, because if you think about the year they won the they didn't win the Super Bowl. That's the year they had Randy Moss. They lost to the Giants.
Right.
That might have been his best roster wise, but like you said, I don't think he's ever had a guy like a CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Leading the league and passing yards, not passing yards, but receiving yards and what have you. And I think, I mean, and you can look at Dak Prescott, not saying he's, you know, like Tom Brady and thing, but I mean, he, you know, I think, you know, that's a good combination. Plus, I think they'll probably increase their running game. I could definitely see them being active in the running back market. Mm-hmm. I think this probably would be, I think if you look at it from on paper,
right,
it probably would be the most complete team that he's ever had. If you thinking about it from just like you said, you know, if you're looking at it just from a paper standpoint, now on the field it might be a little bit different. But right. You know, and I think that's kind of what helped him, because we always look at Dallas as like the paper champions, the team that we look at that's, you know, that looks on paper like, oh man, they're a formidable team, but then kind of falter in certain situations. So, yeah, this would be probably his most complete team if he was to take the Dallas job, if it comes available. We just, you know, right. We don't want to fire McCarthy quite yet.
Right.
Oh, most definitely talent wise, that because. Like you said, Mario, besides that, was that 2007-2008 when they went against the Giants, when they were defeated? I mean, having Randy Moss on that squad, that's probably the most talent that Belichick had. You probably can't look at any one of those Super Bowl victories that he has and look on paper and says that he has a better team.
Right.
I mean, he just coached better. So, if he goes to Dallas, man, that'd easily be the most talented team. Even if he goes to Chargers, I mean, talent everywhere on that. Right. So it'd be crazy to see what he does with a team loaded with talent on paper. I mean, because we've seen what he's done with mediocre talent at best. So
right.
Right.
And that caught up with him, unfortunately, at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And, right. So, and this, I think, by far was, I think, to me, was one of the craziest news stories of the week. It's kind of one of those moments where, where were you when this happened? But we're kind of, you know, but Nick Saban. So, you know, he announced his retirement yesterday. So, in his 10-year, he has 292 wins. He has an 80% winning percentage. He's won 7 national championships, 6 with Alabama, 1 with LSU. He has 11 SEC titles. He's, you know, he was, had different various roles. And also, he was Bill Belichick's defensive coordinator in his time in Cleveland. Yep, yep. And then from there, he started his collegiate career with the Michigan State Spartans, then LSU. He had a cup of coffee and a half a donut in Miami, and then then went to Alabama to round out his career. So, fellas, your thoughts on the career of Nick Saban, and just your thoughts. I'm gonna go with you first, Mark. What you got?
Man, what a career! I think he called it quits at the right time, because. What was left for him to do in college football? Saban has done it all. He's won 7 national championships. I mean, it's what else? How else do you add to a resume that he has in college football? I mean, what, win more national championships? And then that's just stat pad at that point. But I mean, he's 72, 73. He's been there, done that. And to be honest, for me, I think the reason why he's finally walking away is he's like, hey, man, the game ain't the same way in college football. You're looking at NIL, transfer portal. I'm losing my grip on the dominance that I once had for the last 17 years. So, hey, man, I didn't done enough, man. Time to walk away. But a great coaching career. I don't think we'll ever see a college football coach has the resume that he built. That'll be real hard to match. It'll be hard to even come close to what he's done in college football. Matter of fact, so hey, it is what it is. So hey, hats off to him. Hats off to Saban, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what you got, Mal? Your thoughts?
Same thing. great career. I'm just gonna piggyback what my man said at the end, like. You know, I don't want to do that. Actually, great career, legacy, the whole nine. I really want to be petty and throw some karma in there to all my lovely Alabama old co-workers.
Do it, dog. Do it.
Yeah, your Bamas. I can say it strongly. I always play the long game. Bamas. You know what that's supposed to mean. Exactly what it is. Bamas. But honestly, though, like, I think
you're so DMV, dog. Huh? You're so DMV.
You know it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm being nice because we on Couch Coach Live. But to be honest with you, he is system. I think Nick Saban is like anything else when you watch entertainment. He's symbolic. So when you see him, you see dominance, whatever, like Clemson's coach too, like, you know, like he was having a rough time, and I think he eventually gonna try to figure out to him. But Nick Saban is symbolic when it comes to college football, especially now. But it is changing, and there's a new face, and we all know who it is. You know what I mean? And he understands it, and you know, and that's why they on commercials together, because there's a torch being passed. This game has changed. There's a lot of stuff going on, and Nick Saban did what he was supposed to do. Hey, you guys, we dominance, blah, blah, blah. You put a name on it, you're most likely going to get drafted. Well, there's another game starting with this NIL and everything else, and this coach understands it. So, and Nick Saban don't really understand it. So, for it to move forward, that void has to happen. Like, it's time for you to go, because this guy has to get in there. you don't want to be pushed out. You know what I'm saying? Not saying that that would happen, but eventually that conversation would have happened. You know what I mean? Where a lot of players would have been like, man, I want to go to something like that rather than going to something like, you know what I mean? Because really, when you look at Bama, that's how it was. Like, everybody was there. It's just like USC back in the day. You know what I mean? All the people was coming there. All the energy was going that route. So, but I also, because it was changing, I read something today that it said that he was dealing with some stress on his body. You know what I mean? So he said it was like he's not, it's nothing major. But when you feel a change coming, you either need to, you need to just detach and let it go. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, what else does he need to do?
And it's funny. I knew something about 2023. I was like, this got to be the year that you savor everything, because we knew mm-hmm. obviously the change, the dismantlement of the Pac-12,
right.
The end of the four team college football playoff, SEC on CBS, all this type of stuff. We knew this, and now added to that layer is Coach Saban. You look at like his 17 years at Alabama. It just, you know, it was just some great years for them and kind of, you know, brought that program back to prominence. And you just look at it from the fact, and then you look at all the players that he has that have came through his system and how productive they've been in the National Football League. I think they say he had 49 players that were drafted in the first round in his tenure with the Crimson Tide. So it's just one of those where it's such a great ride for him. And like I said, I think this is going to be, like you said, like tomorrow's point, where one of the main reasons was the NIL. And then also, you know, just the changing of the guard in college football, because we knew he was not a fan of the NIL and also the transfer portal. I mean, and I understand why, in a sense, because now, you know, a guy can leave you in an instant, you know, versus, you know, back in the previous days where it's like, hey, we just, you know, you do your thing. And then also the NIL, because of the money. Now you think to yourself, you know, guys, even though I think he makes like $11 million now, but, you know, if he stayed for a few more years, his quarterback would be making that or more, you know. So mm-hmm. it's one of those where you kind of see that was going to be the next thing. And then I think, like you said, to your point, Mark, where what's left as far as when it comes to championships, because now when you sit down, you think about it, now the road to a national championship is going to be even harder now, because now you have a 12-team playoff.
It's wide open.
Right. And so now if you are a lower seed, if you're not a top four seed, you're going to be playing four games to win a national championship compared to now it's two. And, you know, and even, if, you know, so it's kind of one of the things where in college football is about to get crazy. Like we thought about it all year. To me, it feels like the Titanic. It's like the woman and the kids on the boat. I'm almost to the point, I got a child on my hand, so I need to get off this boat. Because it's going to get crazy, because now you look at the transfer portal. I think, I don't know how it's going to be next year, but this year was like December the 5th, right after the conference championship. So you got that coupled with, you know, this whole thing with the college football playoff, because think about it. I think next year, the first set of games is like December the 19th, December the 20th. So you're only going to have like 2 weeks compared to how it used to be like 3 weeks. So you would generally would play primarily after Christmas. You would play right around like New Year. So you're really adding two extra weeks to that. So that's a grind. And that's one thing too, where, you know, like you said, 71 years old, do we really want to deal with that? So it's a lot of factors now. And it's like, it's going to be kind of one of the things where, especially, and he's in an environment that's really not structured in college right. football. That's the only thing. And that's the sad thing about college football. It's a wonderful product, but it's managed horribly. Like, mm-hmm. so it's all this stuff. And this is like, it's already bad enough to be a young coach and dealing with this type of stuff. But just imagine being 71 and you got to worry about all these factors. And now you even look at this type of situation where he loses on New Year's Day. He's like a month behind. That's the crazy thing about all this, and this is like, it kind of gets to you. So, you know, but shout out to Nick Saban. I think he'll ride off in the sunset. I would not be surprised if he is on ESPN next year, especially as SEC is now on ESPN now.
Mm-hmm.
I can see him doing that. And he'll have, you know, he can just work two or three days out the week and then have fun with Miss Terry. So, you know, all week long. So, you know, I mean, hey, I mean, that's his wife, though.
Hey, I think that plays into it, too. You know, he's early 70s. He's probably been coaching for 40, 50 plus years. You know, I'm pretty sure he's tired of missing out on functions, family functions, functions with friends. Not saying that he ain't got a social life, but we got to understand when you an elite coach and you winning that much, man, it's a lot of stuff you got to put to the wayside. And not only that, the grind. You can't half step that grind. You know, you can't half step. You're talking about recruiting. You're talking about you got to babysit because you got to keep kids in line. You're talking about you got to babysit adults, your coaching staff. You know what I'm saying? You make sure they on their job, man. You got to wear so many hats as a head coach of a college football program, and especially the one as big and elite as Alabama, man. That's a lot to deal with, man. So, hey man, I'm pretty sure he's like, man, if I can't do it full tilt, I just won't do it. So
yeah, because 1 year when he won a national championship, and that it kind of echoed what I was saying earlier, where he, you know, he didn't even have time to celebrate it because he was like, well, I'm a month behind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm understanding.
Yeah. So it's just like that, and you know, it's crazy.
Because other teams are already recruiting.
Yeah, I mean, they'd already hit the trail, and that's another thing too, where. That's another thing you got to think about it. Like, say if it's you in that 12-team playoff, you win the net, you are in the conference championship. You really essentially have maybe 2 weeks of a pair. Mm-hmm. You got to hit the road that Sunday, like the day after your conference championship. You got to hit the road and get some of these early signees. So it's just like it's to the point. This calendar is going to be crazy because then you know you got guys like in the portal. Right. It's just like you look at what happened with old boy from Texas. He put himself in the portal as Texas was going to the college football playoff.
Yeah,
and he couldn't even play. So it's just like you know you look at that, but then you know, then the another thing that was fun.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah, and well, the other thing I found funny about this whole situation. So you know he has a statue, outside the facility in Alabama. So, and we all know that, I don't know if everybody knows, but Nick Saban, his morning meal is 2 oatmeal cream pies. I'm thinking to myself, why is y'all bringing a whole box at this man's statue? I'm like, man, come on now.
That man about to have oatmeal cream pies for life, dog.
Man, if I was with the driving distance, your boy would have been up there at the crack of midnight. Give me about a fat. Like,
Hey, I ain't even mad at saving, man. Some oatmeal cream pies in the morning with some coffee slap, dog.
It do.
It slap.
That's a nice way to start the you know. That and donuts. But yeah. Either or, you know. So
let me ask you guys a question, man. Do you feel like, I mean, it's basically picking back what we already saying. It's with the NIL and the portal that, I'm not saying he didn't work, but I felt like he put a foundation down that he didn't have to work as hard because he was Nick Saban and this is Alabama. So even though we recruiting, we still got recruiters, it's still, you know, before, it's still people like, man, I want to play for Alabama. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But now with the portal and people that like coaches and assistants leaving and definitely players leaving, don't you feel like that he's like, man, I can't redo this. I can't do this again. You know what I mean? To rebuild it because it looks like it's starting to come down. It's not as, I mean, it is big, but it just seemed like it's getting weaker. Am I tripping?
No, you're not tripping. And it kind of goes to what I was saying, because when you look at the chokehold that he had on college football for such a long time, he's not the end-all be-all no more. I can go get my name popping in Colorado now. Hell, Michigan just won it. I can go there. I can go to Georgia. Right. In the same conference. I could go to LSU in the same conference. There's a point in time I go to Clemson and still get my name popping, and I can still get to the league, and I can still get playing time. I still get seen on ESPN. All I got to do is get seen. So, I mean, that's why to his legacy, I mean, he was putting whole squads in the draft. And And soon as that whole squad got put in the draft, all he did was already have the backups to that squad he just put in the draft, become starters, and they're still back in the national championship picture. So, unfortunately, I just think that with dealing with the portal specifically, and NIL, I don't even think NIL has affected his recipe yet, quite yet. I think it's the transfer portal that really killed it more than anything else. It's because it's like, yo, man, I ain't trying to wait for your quarterback to graduate. Man, bump that. I'm out of here. You know what I'm saying? He's like, you know, players like, yo, I want to play now. I want to get my playing time and start building my draft resume now. So cats is like, man, why would I wait? You know, let me go somewhere and hell, find – because – NFL talent, especially these scouts, they'll find you anywhere. Let me go shine. So cats is, I mean, we talk about this new society where patience is not a virtue no more. They not waiting to shine. So.
Yeah. And there's basketball, what, blue blood basketball schools now? That's starting to be a problem. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I feel him looking at it like, okay. Yeah. The tower is about to fall. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't need to see that. I don't need to be.
Because then that hurts his legacy if he sticks around too long and he's getting cheeks busted open. You know what I'm saying?
AKA Roy Jones. My bad.
Yeah.
Y'all must have forgot.
But yeah, and that's, you know, to echo your point, where essentially guys who used to be on these rosters. You used to have 4 or 5 star guys, and that's going to high school. I know now, call it about 4 or 5 stars, you know, but it is when it's coming into Alabama, they were 4 or 5 stars. So they thought to themselves, hey, well, I'm gonna go out here and I'm just gonna compete, and then you might fall back in the depth chart. And like you said, you had an opportunity to say, hey, well, I can go anywhere in the country. I'm a 5-star guy. I can go anywhere. I could even be within this conference and can dominate somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Versus back then, you know, during his tenure, you either had to graduate, you know, or you had to sit out a year. So that's risky. Considering that if you're a freshman, okay, I might have to sit out another year, this, that, and the third. So it's risky where, you know, you really gonna have to ball out potentially that first year because you'll be draft eligible after 3 years at the high school. So it's kind of like you said, the choco, because now you think to yourself, and it's just a hypothetical scenario. Because I don't think remember when they had all them running backs? They had, I think at one time they had Derrick Henry, Alvin Kamara, TJ Yeldon. And this, like, in those things where so it's one of those things where it's like they had that on every position. And you even look at the wide receivers. At one time, they had Jerry Jeudy, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, Henry Ruggs. You know, they had like 4 or 5 guys that are actually now impact. Well, except for the latter.
Yeah.
But too soon. But anyway. but as far as that – you know, they had enough where, like you said, if one of those guys was like, well, I'm not getting enough touches, I can go up the street, you know, I go to UAB, you know, I can go anywhere. And, you know, just as a hypothetical. So, yeah, you said it's a lot different now because I'm out. You know, like you said, he has to rebuild every year. He could have banked on, okay, I got this 5-star freshman. This person gonna leave next year, so I'm gonna insert him now. But like you said, it's especially coming out of high school. You're a 5-star. You're the man in high school. Most people not gonna want to start you know, on the bench, you know,
right?
Or not getting on playing time,
right?
Especially, you know, being away from home and stuff. You know, I want to play. I came to Tuscaloosa for a reason. I didn't come here to, you know.
Bam,
sit on the bench, man.
Tuscaloosa. Bam. Hey, shout out to Deontay. Let me stop.
Yeah, man. Hey, that's why you come to school there. You ain't nothing else out there.
Ain't nothing out there.
All right, that's why I like. Yeah, most kids, if I ain't playing, go somewhere else.
Yeah, what we doing?
What we doing over here? Right. So we'll keep back in the NFL. So, and we have some, obviously, we know now there's 8 current coaching openings, including the New England Patriots. So we have 25% of the teams are now looking for a head coach. Now, how it happened, like, so going into Monday, we knew that essentially the Chargers job was open, the Raiders job, the Carolina Panthers open. Then, you know, then Arthur Blank fires Arthur Smith at the stroke of midnight, like at 12:02 Monday morning.
Damian, wait.
Ron Rivera got fired. I think a little bit of light was out. I think the sun came out a little bit. And then the two besides Belichick getting let go today. So there was two openings that was really surprising. I know for most of us was the Tennessee Titans firing Mike Vrabel, and then also the Seattle Seahawks letting Pete Carroll leave as the head coach. So, Mar, what's your thoughts on just those two particular coaching firings?
Now, when it comes to Pete Carroll, I mean, it's just maybe it's just time for a new voice up there. He'd been up there in Seattle for a minute, won a Super Bowl, possibly could have won more if he made a better decision in that one Super Bowl, but that's another conversation for another day. But I just think it was just time to move on for a different voice from him. Now, with Vrabel, I was a little bit more surprised that he got let go, only because if you look at the 6 years he was there, he done more winning than losing. But you know how it is. What have you done for me lately? They're looking at – I think it was more last year that got him in the hot seat, because the fact that he lost 7 in a row to lose out that season last year, and it was a debacle in that point. So I think it was more last year that got him in trouble than this year. Unfortunately, the last 2 years, you see the quality of personnel for the Titans go down. You know, GM moves just didn't make sense. You bring in Julio Jones, who's a little bit older, but you pair him with A.J. Brown, but you get rid of A.J. Brown. And then, you know, you really didn't do much to enhance your offensive line. And had some injuries, but I just think the last 2 years, especially last year, got Vrabel fired. If you look at the totality of his career, the 6 year career in Tennessee, he wasn't a bad coach. So I was surprised by that one for sure.
Yeah, what you got, Mal?
Something went on. It said that Vrabel. How you say his last name?
Vrabel.
My bad. And the most important, they said it was some miscommunication, some misinformation. They, you know what I mean? I don't know. It almost like you think they're upset that Derrick Henry's leaving or something, or they didn't use him, or it just, I don't know. It seemed like they gave old boy that money. And that was, you know, with Tannehill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They paid him. That didn't work out. Derrick Henry, you know, is a monster, but it seemed like he got hurt a lot. I don't know, man. You think maybe he going to up there to Boston, to Massachusetts?
Ooh, Vrabel?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're definitely going to call him.
I think it's a possibility. Yeah, I think maybe. Yeah. Oh, he'll get the interview at least. Yeah,
And with Pete Carroll, I think it was just time. I think that I guess the Seahawks in their mind, you know, you let Russell go, and by having Russell. You always had this mind state of you. They have a chance to win the Super Bowl when Russ was there, but it was the same thing. They would win because I think going into November they was like one of them quiet teams that was winning, and then once they got some attention, they just start losing. It just seemed like end of November going into December, they just start losing, and learning from the archives of Couch Coach Live talking to Jamie and I mean JB and talking to Coach, they said they do that every year. They do well in the beginning of the season, and then it hit like November, they just start going downhill. And it's maybe you're seeing the same thing, and it's you just can't get over that hump. And maybe it's just time for him to go. They said he was not happy about being let go. So they said that. I think they said that he was still going to be like an advisor.
Yeah.
But they said he wasn't happy. He wasn't happy with it at all.
Yeah. Like I said, the Vrabel thing really shocked me because it was kind of one of the things where I know they were going to kind of do somewhat of a cleaning a house mm-hmm. in a sense. I knew Tannehill was going to be gone. You know, Derrick Henry is going to be gone as well. Mm-hmm. I know they were saying it's a lot of rumblings. I know obviously their owner, I can't believe I forgot her name, Strunk, I think it's Amy Strunk, I think their owner, where she said she wanted like a new voice and what have you in that organization. So I kind of I was really shocked. I figured they were going to kind of give him at least another year with Will Levis as a quarterback going into 2024 and kind of giving him some pieces potentially to kind of help somewhat have a quick turnaround for the Titans. But yeah, I think they're going into a different direction. It's a few guys I think that could potentially be there in Tennessee that could be in play for Tennessee. So that may ultimately make sense down the line. I think who they potentially might get in the line potentially. Pete Carroll is the one that shocked me. I think with Pete Carroll, I always thought this day was going to happen. I thought there was going to be. I figured once he had like a losing season, that he would have been out, but this year he was 9-8. So I figured like if they finished like 7-9 or like 6-11, that he was going to be let go. And like you said, it's to a point where, like you said, I think there is a situation where they also want like a new voice in this locker room. And I think it's kind of one of those where I think they're kind of, I wouldn't say rebuilding, but they want to kind of get to the higher level. I think sometimes when you're at that 9-8, you're stuck in that same position. Because last year they were similar in records. Mm-hmm. They just didn't make the playoffs this year. So I guess they look at it from a standpoint, especially considering the fact after losing Russell Wilson, you know, they now want to kind of get to that higher level and kind of be competitive with the San Franciscos and the LA Chargers. Cause like you said, not LA Chargers, but the LA Rams, where now you're looking at it, it's a potential two-team race in that division. You want to be a part of that race as well. I mean, you look at and then now you got a couple of the fact with Arizona. Now with next year going to with a healthy Kyler Murray, you know, we want to be in this race. We don't want to be stuck in that 9-8, you know, situation. But that situation is kind of odd because even with him being on as an advisor, I find it kind of crazy. And then, you know, obviously they had like a dinner for him yesterday and they were saying how emotional it was. And if you listen to the presser, he was extremely emotional as well too. So it's kind of one of those things where I think it sounds like it's amicable, but then a part of me don't feel that way because of just the emotions that was shared in that press conference and then just the somber mode they had at that dinner yesterday. So something's going on there. And, you know, I don't know if that's going to be it for Pete Carroll, like as far as if he's going to stay this role or maybe just a coach somewhere, potentially.
Hey, yo, look, Pete, I know. Pete, stop. Look, we're going to have a dinner. We're going to have ribs, shrimp, cocktail shrimp. We're going to have boneless wings. Chill, man. We're going to have that cheesecake you like. Come on, Pete. You know it's time. That's crazy. Okay, but all jokes aside, quick. Do they keep Geno as a starting quarterback or they're going to draft the quarterback? What should I think? I know they ain't got a coach yet, but.
I think you answer that question once you find out what your coach gets.
Yeah,
because I mean, no disrespect to Geno. I know he got the extension this past offseason going into this season. But the fact of the matter is what you got this year was not what you got last year that earned him that contract extension. So you definitely gotta look look at all the tape and see what kind of offense you're gonna run too. Can Geno run your offense? So I would probably answer that question until I find out who my coach is first.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I think, and I got this from Richard Sherman, which I thought was a really good idea potentially for Pete Carroll. I wouldn't mind him going to the Chargers. I think that would be a good spot for him because he's been in this position before, so he understands, like, for him to at that time, even though they didn't have an LA franchise, but when USC was there, they were bigger than the Rams and the Chargers combined in this present day circuit, you know, what they're going on now. Because, hell, ain't nobody going to Chargers game. It's like, you know, it's to a point, it's like...
It's an away
game. it's an away game every week. And now, you know, could he bring out that spark? Could he be that one where he could be, you know, like how he had the influence at USC? And this could, you know, could be potentially his final act. And you go somewhere like a Seattle where, you know, he's youthful. And even though he's like, you know, one of the oldest coaches in the league, but he's as youthful. I think he's like 40 something years old. I think
he's right. He is. You're right.
It's funny you say that, Couch. It's funny you say that, because I was listening to his press conference. It didn't sound like he was ready to walk away.
Right. And that's like, and that's the thing where that's why it's like, you know, I was puzzled by Schefter's tweet yesterday. And I was like, well, I can understand like the Bill Belichick thing, because but it's almost like he was forced to leave. It's almost like, you know, you got the office with the, you know, with the view of the city and a lock on your door, and they telling you move all your stuff and you go into a cubicle.
Yeah.
Like that kind of, I mean, you know, just to kind of
simple
it up as far as the analogy for that. Because yeah, right. Because that was still kind of like, it felt like finale, but it's almost like I was forced out. And that's why I was like, I found it weird that they want to keep him on. Mm-hmm. Like you said, considering the fact the emotion and the tenor of that, so I found that, like you said, I found that rather odd too. That's why I was like, am I reading comprehension like off? Like I do have a county education, but you know what I'm saying? I'm like, something doesn't read right.
Hey, dots were not connecting, bro. They weren't connecting. Right.
I didn't know that they gave him an extension. So clearly they're talking about keeping Geno Smith. And I think Pete Carroll has to trust, because Geno Smith looked like he got some mental things going on. Like, he seemed like he's a real hothead. You know what I mean? And I think Pete has his trust. I think that's one of the reasons why. But, you know, you're right. Maybe he should go ahead and move to the Chargers.
Yeah, and I got that from Sherm. So, yeah, I like that. Actually, a good idea. That probably makes a lot of sense, because he could definitely – I think he could put butts in seats where we didn't even think butts exist in Southern California.
And stop making it seem like it's an away game.
Right. Yeah. Right. Lord, let this – oh, my God. I remember when y'all played them Maui in on Sunday Night Football. I like, damn, are we in Pittsburgh or Southern California? Yeah, like, it's so many terrible times. I thought the sun was out. Like,
hey, we called it Arrowhead West, because we was always packed in with the Chiefs, bro. We was packed in that thing, dog.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait till we get to play out there, man. They beat us on a soccer field in like 2017. I'm like, man, I ain't never get over that.
Yeah, man, that's tough.
how they beat you with an LA Galaxy play?
Yeah, that's tough. Like,
come on, man. Like, come on, man. You know, come on, Gruden. Why you let this happen? But yeah, and I digress, because we'll be talking about Commanders all night long for no reason whatsoever. But we here.
We don't need to see that breakdown for your couch. We don't need to see
that. Right. You already know. You already know how it is. So, fellas, we gotta talk about we talked about errors, you know, as far as from a coaching, and then as far as that. Now we have a new era where guys now having their own platforms and now are able to kind of do their own thing, spew their own hatred or what have you. So we definitely gotta get into this Stephen A. Smith versus Jason Whitlock, the battle of journalists, turn personalities. So we have a video. It's just more of a minute 30 clip that kind of give you the Cliff Notes version of said arguments to kind of give it somewhat of a context. So before we get started, it's a few disclaimers I do want to point out. So obviously, fair use. There are points in this edit where they have like some type of clip that kind of like an agreement of a side or whatever. Those clips are not the thoughts of Couch Coach Live and its subsidiaries. and also it's going to be a profound laced tyrant, as you know, of Stephen A. Smith. So you hear some foul language. So anybody under the age of 18, close your ears. And Mom, I'm sorry, but we're going to play the clip.
Stephen A. Smith is the Kevin Hart of the sports media. Smith is a plant. Disney and ESPN installed Smith at the top of the sports media world because his inadequacies as a journalist make him easy to control.
He ain't lying.
When I listen to Cat Williams talk about Kevin Hart and Steve Harvey, my mind immediately drifted to Stephen A. Smith's memoir. Smith's story just doesn't add up.
But they're not telling us I only played one game because I cracked my knee.
It's the same article in Deadspin came out. Weeks later, you wrote a lengthy apology to me in an email, begging me to forgive you, pointing out how you were betrayed by this particular writer, so you know how I must feel that you betrayed me. Did you tell the folks that, you bitch?
Damn, okay.
Did you tell them, you fat piece of shit? Did you tell them that? Got the names. We got Jemele Hill. We got Howard Bryant. You want me to bring up the other writers that wouldn't work for you? Why it took you nearly 2 years to get an article out? Because you ran that shit so bad you were running it into the ground?
I'm not crazy.
All right. So, you know, we are back here. very entertaining. And of course, I am a card carrying member of the Stephen A. Smith autobiography book. So I just wanted to kind of, you know that am I reading falsehoods? So, or no? So
you can get my book on Amazon Prime, Kindle. You can get my book in paperback. I just want you to know that. And I'm a bestseller. I am a bestseller.
I low key want to get it in paperback. I'm serious. I don't think I might get it in paperback. I'm dead serious, bro. I'm
serious. You look so petty.
No, I'm serious.
I know you're not. I know you're dead serious. Yo. You know what? I didn't even know that. I might want to get it in paperback.
Yeah, and that's like one of the first time I listened to the, you know, it to the Stephen A. Smith show in its entirety. Like, me too. I was like, paperback. I'm like, I wrote, and the notes I was like, paperback.
Like, you didn't put this in paperback.
I know. But so,
oh my god.
Mar, what's your thoughts on just this? This whole social discourse between Stephen A. Smith and Jason Whitlock. What you got, Mar?
I mean, growing up in Kansas City, man, I can tell you, man, that not a lot of people mess with Jason Whitlock out here. He's a clown. He's something else. Yeah. Now, when it comes to Stephen A. Smith, I used to rock with him heavy, but then, you know, I can just kind of see the strings kind of getting pulled on him. That's just my opinion about Stephen A. Smith, that ESPN and Disney kind of pull the strings on him. And, you know, I just feel that way. Obviously, I have nothing to back that up factually. It's just, you know, it just when you listen to people and, you know, you hear how they talk and, he's going to follow where the money goes. So if they tell him to do this and Disney is paying him $12 million a year, he's going to say it. So I just kind of feel like, hey, he'll say anything and everything as long as the check is doesn't bounce and it's the right amount. Look, man, sometimes I just feel like it takes a clown to recognize a clown. They can have all this little disagreement on social media. It creates likes, clicks, hype. But that's why I enjoy what we do. Because, man, we here for the purity of talking sports and stuff like that. I mean, these dudes can have it. If they want to have the Real Housewives of sports world, a little drama, man, had that shit, man, whatever. I'm going to let y'all take the floor because I really don't give a damn about none of this.
What you got, Val?
I got you. I mean, it is what it is. If you ever watch wrestling and you can tell the difference between wrestling and WWE.
Yeah.
And see, the bottom, what people don't understand is when you talking billions of dollars, mm-hmm. WWE had to make, they're competing with the NFL on Mondays.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? And NBA most likely on Thursday. So they had to make a product. So what I'm saying is, I wouldn't put it past these two dudes as best friends. And I won't knock their hustle because trying to transition from being on a major network, which cable is starting to lose its merit. We all know that. Mm-hmm. To get everything on YouTube. We just saw Cat Williams do. About to be the biggest interview on YouTube history because it's at 44, I think, or 43 right now. Mm. The most is 52, and that's out of 4 years. You see what I'm saying? So I'm saying this. I wouldn't put it past If I was Vince McMahon or Triple H, I would call them to and say, hey, I got the Royal Rumble coming up.
Show up.
Why don't y'all show up? You know what I mean? And they and I get it, but I watched it and I'm gonna tell you, Jason Whitlock got an extreme wonderful argument, but who cares?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? That's what I don't think he understands. Now the Kevin Hart, I don't even care about the Kevin Hart, but Cat Williams had an argument about it. You know what I'm saying? But I don't care. Stephen A, like, I remember why we liked Stephen A, because we had in the beginning, and he did change. You know what I mean? He did change. And so we don't deal with it. And then we got some other people that we could watch. But I was trying to.
He called him a bitch, though. That's
what. Yeah, he going. He was going hard. He was really hurt. Like, when I'm watching it, I'm like, Stephen A, you going to mess around. Get your ass whooped. Excuse my language. I said, because you're talking real big. Yeah. And you look like you guilty. Like, did you know how his first job was Hot 97? Like, he's one of the original Hot 97 members. That messed me up. I said, what? Have you ever? I've never heard that he was on Hot 97 until I think Angie or somebody brought it up, and they were saying how he was saying he wanted to be in sports and blah, blah, blah. But that shocked me. You know what I mean? All I heard was, always heard about the Winston-Salem. You know what I mean? But the way he breaking that stuff down, I'm like, damn, did he go get a picture and put his face? Because he looked weird as hell in the picture. He looked like Photoshop the bit and put him there. But what you said, I don't care. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Bill Belichick, Nick Saban retired today.
Mm. Yeah. I think this is – oh, my bad.
No, go ahead, B. You know what
I'm saying? I think it's important. I think it's one of the things where I think when you look at Jason Whitlock, he's been poking the bear at people all the time. And you know this more right. as well, too, where you look at he's had attacks on everybody. You look at like what he's doing with Deion Sanders. Like you said, I guarantee you the day he had a show, all the stuff that was going on, he probably was talking about Deion Sanders in a negative way. He's done that since like September. He's done it the whole entire year. You know, if it ain't about how he dresses or how Shador or Shallow or any of his kids, you know, just little stuff like that. Like he pokes the bear and he's done that with Stephen A. Smith a lot. And I think it's one of the things where, and this is, I think this is a situation, you know, as a man, hey, I can ignore stuff and I can be the bigger person, but if you keep bringing up my name and stupid stuff, I got to address it because first of all, you're not going to tell me I'm like this plant. This and third, because if I'm him, I'm like, what are you doing? Like, if you see me on ESPN, you see me every single where. Like, you'll see me in a national championship game. You see me everywhere. He is literally the face of ESPN because he's everywhere. If he's not covering an NBA game, hell, he could be he could be doing boxing or UFC or whatever they got going on ESPN. He's there. Mm-hmm. Even when it comes to like football, he's there. Like, you know, it didn't also he does the shows. So he's getting, you know, and my thing is, yeah, you could think he'll plan all he wants to, but he's putting in the work. I mean, like I said, we can always have disagreements about what we view Stephen A. Smith, but we know he's working. He's on his grind. He's not just because, you know, that's difficult work. And then coupled with the traveling and all that type of stuff, he has a lot. And then you think about it, he has a show on Monday through Friday. Then he doing these other events and stuff like that. So it's like he's on a grind. Mm-hmm. And it's almost to a point, why is you still worrying about something that I did in the 80s? And like you said, the whole thing is like, okay, well, you only see that one picture. You got to remember, this is like the late 1980s. Like, no, it's not like now where you can take pictures and have stuff like that. Like, I guarantee all he had to do was just go to a library and potentially see at what Stanley said and see what he has done. So I'm like, my thing is, and even if he's lied about it, that's almost 40 years ago. Like, I'm at a point where why even bring something insignificant? And I think I agree with him when it comes to, and, you know, the whole thing about coming for his book. And that, like, I would too, you know, especially if he has his whole life in this book and you trying to say, and I'm making this stuff up, I'll be pissed off too. Just imagine if you wrote a book and somebody said, well, your stuff is a lie. I would be defensive as well. So, I mean, I think he has taken the high road for years.
Yeah.
But just Jason Whitlock would do that. And now he brought up the fact about that. And then And he bought up the whole thing with, at the time, undefeated, which I don't know why on God's green earth is called Escape for the life of me now. Right. It's like, but so you look at how he pretty much put, you know, they were, you know, he pretty much destroyed that brand because he was supposed to be the quote unquote, the black, Bill Simmons. You know, after he left, you know, after because he was with Grantland with the ESPN part, he was supposed to be, you know, Jason Whitlock was supposed to be the Bill Simmons where he was going to have this new branch of new, you know, of writing stuff. And then, you know, and then also Jemele Hill credit, she backed up the claims that Stephen A. Smith said about, you know, many people that didn't work with him. So it's like, it, you know, she vouched for him in that particular. So it's one of the things where he, like you said, and like Case Mark, you know, after with him being at Kansas City market, no one deals with him. Yeah. No one rocks with him at all. So
I don't like
but
either.
He do that. I mean, I don't either because I think he makes some points from time to time, but I think what kills me about it is like he throws stuff to the ground. And I like this whole like the whole Deion Sanders thing. Just like I'm like you like I can understand you can say stuff about Deion Sanders because there is some stuff that you could talk about from a football standpoint of maybe like the execution, like situation where him being down by 29 to Stanford, the play calling was suspect. Mm-hmm. But you're going to talk about, well, why is he 56 years old and wearing chains? I'm like, y'all the same age. Why are you worrying about what another man wearing? Like, and that's the thing where I can't get beyond his arguments and what he talked about when you say stuff so elementary and childish. Just like, you know, say anybody, like you can hear somebody, but then when they mix it with commentary that don't make any sense, and like because he always and they talk about how people are woke and all that, it's just like, and it's just like the agenda behind that. And it's just like that's why I don't like Jason Whitlock for that.
Now I feel you.
So you feel like he shouldn't. I mean, it got to a point I was like, Stephen A, I don't even think, but I'm with you. That's what makes this show great. We respect each other's perspectives, and that's great, man. I didn't even look at it from that. Like, you're being pushed and you're tired of being pushed. And that's why you had these platforms like this where you can speak your damn mind.
Yeah. And hey, it is what it is, man. Both of them got their formula to get clicks, to get people to watch their content. You know, I'm with you, Couch. I just don't like Whitlock's formula or how he gets his clicks because he's pretty much baiting people into in a real negative way. When he's not necessarily keeping it about sports. When it comes to certain situations, it's like, hey man, I found a way to get clicks. Oh, hey, Stephen A, you're a plant. And so like I said, he ain't welcome back here in the moat. Trust me. 816 is a no go for him, bro. Nobody would never rehire him back over here. Kansas City Star? Nope. Negative. None of the news channels? Nope. Negative.
He's burned bridges. And it's not, like you said, even in Kansas City and also ESPN. So it's just like, and of course he going and you know that's he bringing up those that, guys. So it's just like, it just got to a point where you know,
yeah,
yep.
You think he's one
because he even talked about those guys, even the personnel were there.
Do you think this is he one person that probably should be blackballed?
No, he do it to himself.
Right. He's already is though.
You don't have to himself. Yeah, he'll find a way to burn the bridge.
Yeah, I mean. And he probably want to be blackballed, honestly. He do. I mean, the way he carry himself, he wants to be that because there's no need for him to kind of bring up people for no particular reason. And like you said, he always have had fallouts with people because like you look at how the situation with Outkick, even somebody who we thought would be his ally, Clay Travis, that didn't even work out. So it's just like, you know.
Stephen A. Smith put an emphasis on Chris Broussard too. He was saying how nice and religious Chris Broussard is, and Chris Broussard didn't even want to work with him.
Yeah, because he prayed for Rob Parker on his 60th birthday. I want him to pray for me in general.
For real. Lord, please get this money in my pocket, please.
Right. Please. please let me get out. Let me please get out of this one bedroom apartment. Have a garage. Have a garage.
For real.
Long have a time. Mailbox that I don't have to turn a key.
Or put that money in my pocket.
Please, please. These kids
eat me out of the house.
Be a cheerful giver.
Please let Krispy Kreme still have them hot 12 glazed.
Oh, and they got the Biscoff ones now. Oh
Lord. Yeah, wow.
Oh my God, yeah, they got the Biscoff ones now. Yum, yum, yum. Mm. Yeah. So and it's funny, and it's funny because I thought this week we were gonna really be like, you know, doing deep dives on the not conference, but the wild card weekend. But so much stuff is happening in the world of sports. But we're just gonna do our picks going into wild card weekend. So what we're gonna do, fellas? We'll do our picks. So our first game, we got the Browns at the Texans. Who you got, Mar?
I'm rock with the Browns, man. Flacco, he hot right now. It's Stefanski. Possibly might win Coach of the Year because of this game. Well, I say this. Whoever wins this game is Coach of the Year because I think Stefanski and DeMeco Ryans both deserve a shot at it. So whoever wins this game wins Coach of the Year. But I'm going with the Browns. Lots of injuries, and they still ain't missed a beat. So I'm rocking with the Browns.
All right. What you got, Maui?
In the way in here, I can rock with them Browns. Give me the Texans. Pittsburgh, though, they ain't no way in here. They over there. And I'm from Akron, B.
Yo,
I'm still a fan. No, man, Flacco. We know who he is. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, but I'm going with the Texans. I have picked them. I like the coach. I like everything. I'm going with the Texans.
And I'm going to go with the Cleveland Browns. Our boy Joe Wacko Flacco has not lost a wild card game in his career.
Do you know how big this game would have been if Deshaun was playing?
Oh, they wouldn't have made it, honestly. I know that would have been crazy, him coming back. That would have been wild. Yes, indeed. Right. We'd have told him, hey, stay in the hotel room the whole time. Don't do nothing.
I got a little, but my lower back. I'm just kidding.
Nope. We got somebody in the facility for that. And we got the nightcap on Saturday night. The Dolphins and the Chiefs. This is let me get that password game because it's on Peacock. So Peacock. You know what I'm saying? Let me hold that password, dog.
Stupid.
Yeah.
who you got, Mar? I mean, obviously.
Yeah, you see the hat. But I will say this. This won't be a I still got a little pause just because my offense has not given me anything of any type of sorts to cool my nerves. They've been playing like very, very mundane and mediocre for 17 games. So if they turn the ball over and start being silly like they have been all season, they can leave the door open. But thank goodness we got a defense that Patrick Mahomes has never had that can lock some down. So I'm rocking with the squad, the Chiefs.
All right. What you got, Maui?
I'm going with the Chiefs. And don't worry about it, man. My sorry ass team took all year to throw the GP number 14. And I already know what's going to happen. They ain't going to pay him with some stupid, or they're going to try to. He's going to be playing for y'all. And Patrick Mahomes is going to ride the horsey all the way to Victory Road again. You know, I told my dad that. Anyway, I'm going with the Chiefs.
That would be interesting, though. Yeah, give me the Chiefs. I'll be watching this game. I do got a password. I mean, if it weren't for Coco Jones, I wouldn't have had Peacock, dog. I mean,
you freak.
Shout out to Hillary Banks. Shout out to Hillary Banks. All right, so Sunday triple header matchup. So we got the Steelers and the Bills in Orchard Park. Who we got, Mar?
Hey, man, no TJ Watt, no go. Give me Bills. How you gonna tackle that big some of my gun called Josh Allen? No TJ Watt.
They've been doing it for years. I'm sorry. Go ahead. My bad.
Hey, no, you good?
I feel you. I feel you. But I think without TJ Watt, that's like losing your heartbeat on defense, man.
Word. We got, but that coach there is gonna say next man up, ain't no excuses. And I'm having Bills have to prove me wrong.
Yeah.
They Josh Allen gotta prove me wrong. It's the playoffs. I have not, you know, to me, they not criticizing him enough. They always like me and the pod.
Like crazy.
The pod, what is it? The pod guy, that's what y'all calling?
Mm. Jeff. Well, Jeff, yeah, Podfather. Yeah,
Podfather. Me and Jeff said it when they the year after they paid him. I'm like, okay, they gave him this money. It's like he's underachieving. You know what I mean? Now, don't get me wrong. You know, they made a little run towards the end. Prove it to me. No, actually, don't prove it to me. Just, you know, do what you usually do. You know what I mean? Right. But I'm going Steelers all day.
Yeah. I got the Bills, man. I got the Bills, man. I definitely think I'll take care of business in this one.
I ain't tripping.
Then we got an afternoon matchup. We got the Green Bay Packers versus the Dallas Cowboys. Who you got, Mar?
Man, this is a trap game. I'm telling you, this Cowboys, the better team. They got the better roster. They should win. But I got a good feeling. Mike McCarthy about to do some dumb shit and mess it up. I just got a feeling. But I'm going to rock with the Cowboys. But they handle business, though.
All right. What you got, Mal?
I'm going with the Packers, man. I'm not about to. Yeah, right. It's not going to happen. Do you know if the Cowboys lose, boy, we're going to have some entertainment and content to talk about because they're supposed to beat these Packers. Ooh. But they playing at home, too. So I wonder what the betting is going to be like because they've been winning at home. Like the Seahawks, they probably made the playoffs if that last draw, one of the second to last, if my homeboy, Daryl Taylor, would have sacked Dak like he was supposed to. And that last drive where it was flag after flag after flag after flag after flag. I'm like, well, goodness gracious, just give them the game. So I'm picking the Packers.
Yeah, I got Green Bay. And it's weird because I almost feel like Jordan Love now is going to be the next Aaron Rodgers. Look at it from a statistical standpoint, they're literally identical. Like, and it's scary. And I definitely think, and you playing one of the hottest teams in the NFC.
You back, baby? Last week you had me scared.
Or not? What do they? I mean, they ain't playing to watch the Commanders now. I mean, come on, man. Let's be real.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a giveaway. You ain't even got to. If you wanted to watch the Commanders for 15 minutes, you knew this team was gonna lose to anybody. Hell, they lose to a Pee Wee Midget football team.
Hey, stop! Oh my gosh.
They lose Independence College.
Stop.
Okay.
Damn, right. Cap.
Like you want it real and raw and unfiltered. Hey, it is what it is. Oh, so we got the nightcap on Sunday night. We got the prodigal son of Detroit coming back, Matthew Stafford against our guy, not Matthew Stafford, but the other one, Jared Goff. Rams and the Lions. What you got, Mar?
Sean McVay knows how to defend Jared Goff. There's a reason why he traded for Matthew Stafford.
Mm-hmm.
Upset. Rams go in there, and boy, they get that dub. About to send all them Lions fans home, hurting, sad. Give me the Rams.
What you got, Maui?
Damn, that sounds good. I'm gonna stick with the Lions, but you might be right.
What you got?
I got the Lions.
You stick with the line.
I'm stick with it.
Yeah, this franchise, their first ever playoff game since what, 1991 at home?
Maybe 93 or something like that.
93, so. Yeah, 93. Yeah, that's right, because they won the NFC Central. Oh Lord,
that's how long it's been.
Yeah, NFC Central. Yeah, this is gonna be the most ruckus that you'll see in there. The way the NFL does this. It's gonna be some it's gonna be some heartbroken, toothless Lions fans. Cause I know they're gonna bite kneecaps. They're gonna bite kneecaps all night, but I definitely think that the Rams gonna pull off, man. That's unfortunate. But that's how it happens. Usually when it's a historic night like this, it gets ruined. It never happens.
Hey, let me add this in here real quick, Couch.
Yeah.
Dan Campbell is a risky coach. He's gonna do something too risky. It's gonna put his team behind the eight ball.
Right. Because he should have kicked the field goal after two or three.
Should have take the points, bro.
Take the point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but hey, you avoid the Packers. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know what happened Thanksgiving.
But I'm saying that was Thanksgiving. But they're familiar with the Packers, so you know how to defend them and play them. True. You got a coach that knows your quarterback to a T.
Right.
Yeah. The Rams, man. I definitely think the Rams will pull out the upset, unfortunately. And they're ahead of San Francisco next week. So in my personal opinion. Then we got the Monday night game. Wow, it's a crazy thing. We got a Monday night wild card game. It's awesome. The Eagles versus the Buccaneers. We got Baker Mayfield versus Jalen Hurts, the two Oklahoma boys. This is the Lincoln Riley Bowl. What you got, Mark?
It's in the Lincoln Riley Bowl. As bad as the Eagles have looked, and they look real bad down the stretch, I got a feeling Baker Mayfield is about to drop the other shoe where he's going to be regular Baker Mayfield that we know and don't love. So I'm going with the Eagles.
Okay. What you got, Mal?
Eagles. Okay. Yeah, I believe what he said. I think Baker is saying this. Y'all remember me? Yeah, I'm going with the Eagles.
I still got a smidge of belief in Baker Mayfield. I definitely think this is potentially where I think the Buccaneers win this game. I think they'll win, and it's at home. I mean, you look at they dropped the egg against the Saints the last time they was at home, so. I definitely think Baker Mayfield got that opportunity. I think if he could, I always got faith in them because he has won a playoff game in his tumultuous career. So he might add number two on his mantle potentially. So, fellas, we'll put a bow on tonight's Couch Coach Live with a few more things. So, game ball, who gets this week's game ball? Pretty much a shout out for who had the best performance in sports in your personal opinion this week. I'm going with you first, Mark. What you got?
I'm gonna have to go back to last weekend, and it was fun while it lasted because I think the end of the season is this week. I'm gonna give it to CJ Stroud, man. I'm very impressed with what that young man has been doing all season as a rookie, been balling, and at one point I could have made a case that he could have been MVP along with being rookie of the year. But I've been thoroughly impressed with what he's been doing. He bounced back from the injury, getting the concussion, and it looked like he didn't miss a beat. And first play out the gate, he hitting Nico Collins right down the field, man. Carolina, you messed up. Got the wrong quarterback. Yep. So, yeah. I'm rocking with CJ.
Yeah, man. That was shout out to Tepper, a.k.a. Evan Lazanda, to be throwing drinks.
Hey, yeah.
Shout out to Tepper. Hey. Woo. Thank God I don't have a toxic owner no more. Woo. What a feeling.
Whoa. Couch. Well, nobody is toxic like your owner. Your owner.
That's why I said another level, bro. That's why I'm glad. Surviving Daniel Snyder is over.
It's coming out in February after the Super Bowl.
Right on Lifetime Channel, bro.
Straight up. Who gets your game ball this week, Mal? What you got?
I mean, we thinking the same. I'm giving it first year coach of the Texans. I'm gonna mess his name up. D'Amico Ryans. Gotcha. Same thing, man. Like I thought him being a player's coach. I looked at his resume last year, and I kind of predicted in the beginning that he was either going to be two or win a division. And look where he at right now, first-year coach, man. And then we talking about the Texans, too. Mm-hmm. All the drama that has been dealing with Texans over all that time. You know what I mean? Yep. So, man, shout out to them, man.
Yeah, facts. Yeah,
man. Game ball goes to Coach Jim Harbaugh, the Michigan Wolverines, getting their first national championship since they split one in 1997. So definitely huge shout out to Coach Harbaugh, 34-13 win over Washington. Definitely huge shout out to Coach Harbaugh. So to be pretty much final thoughts and social media where they can find you. So pretty much like social media plug for you. So I'm going to go with you first, Mark. What you got?
Word, man. Couch, man, appreciate you having me on. That's for sure. I definitely want to show my appreciation to you. Love what you do. You may not see it, but I'll be peeping you from a distance and make sure that I like and love on your stuff, because man, I love the grind that you do, because I understand the grind, you know.
For sure.
Hey, man, one of my final thoughts is I'm looking at fans, because I saw the story of the little 30-year-old man that got gunned down in Miami, a Buffalo Bills fan gunned down in Miami. Hey, man, we got to take care of each other, y'all. We got to do better. Every week this year is on social media, somebody getting in a fight at a sporting event. We got to chill out. We got to do better, be better. But, hey, man, I ain't going to hold too much of your time. Y'all know where to find me. ILW Sports Network on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. That's where you can find me. If you can't find me there, you can find me on 613 Fake Productions on YouTube as well, man. And, again, Couch, man, appreciate you, my brother.
Sir, appreciate you for going on. What you got, Maui?
Great show, man. I appreciate you being here, my Midwest brother. I'm going to say the same thing. Like, you know, for the last few weeks, like Cat Williams is, you know, he put a standard on interviews. And then we spoke earlier about Whitlock and Stephen A. But one thing I liked about what we did was we all gave our honest opinion and perspectives. And then we saw see each other's perspective, which a lot of people can't do because of ego. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate being able to be on here with both of y'all, man, so we could do that, especially being an adult, an American, and a Black man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, because we peaceful. We'll be, you know. Because
Kyle, I am peaceful till you start barking around the room.
That's true. Yeah, but we peaceful for the most part. Like if you, yeah,
leave my babies alone.
That's true. Yeah.
All I'm gonna say is I do exercise my Second Amendment. Leave my babies alone.
Yes, sir. But yeah, you know. But we cautious. If you're coming to my birthday dinner, I ain't mad at you. I ain't like, you know how it is on the other end.
I throw rocks and run.
You know what I'm saying? So once again, definitely appreciate you, Mar, for coming on. Definitely appreciate it. Definitely, you know, we'll definitely have you on, you know, for you know, very soon, probably more like, you know, as a season progressing, what have you, as a season progressing far, just the sports calendar progressing and everything. So we're definitely going to love to have you to come back on going forward. So for sure. So we got that. Pretty much social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, under Couch Coach Live. Also check out the website, couchcoachlive.com. And yeah, man, this has been this week's Couch Coach Live. And we'll catch you guys next week. And we're out.
Welcome.